Thank you for that awesome welcome, Nathan. And hello. Well, as Nathan was already telling you, I'm a summer missionary through the North American Mission Board. And this fall, he didn't tell you this, but I'll be a senior at College of the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri, and where I'm studying biblical and theological studies with an emphasis in biblical studies, which is a mouthful. But yeah, I'm just thrilled that Nathan has graciously given me the opportunity to preach my very first sermon last night. So you missed that one. Today is my second sermon ever. It's not so grand, but yeah, he's been an awesome help in helping me to prepare over the past week. And there's a lot of work that goes into preparing a sermon, and he was helped me start it out. Without him, I wouldn't have known where to get started. So I'd also like to thank The Orchard for giving me this opportunity and for helping me out like they have been throughout the whole summer. It's been awesome. Well, so if you're new to The Orchard, don't let my preaching scare you off. Come back next week and hear Pastor Nathan preach God's word. But our sermon today comes from Psalm 33. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to have one of the red chairback Bibles as your very own to take home and read and use. But as you're finding Psalm 33, do you ever find yourself asking the question, why should we worship God when we can put our hope in things of this world? Because if we're honest with ourselves, I think that we would agree that sometimes praying and reading the Bible just feels very pointless. We live in a culture where we get what we want when we want it. We're not used to waiting on things. We can put our hope in our job, in our finances, in our family, in our friends, and even in our government. So who needs God, and why should we worship him? Well, in our text today, there's no signature on who exactly wrote Psalm 33. Most likely it was David, But to be on the safe side, we're going to call him the psalmist. So follow along in verse 1 of Psalm 33 as I read. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make music to him with a 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song to him. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. Well, these first three verses here are a call for the righteous to worship God. And not just worship him, but worship him energetically. And the word righteous refers to believers in the Lord who seek to live by his standard. It mentions two instruments here, the lyre and the harp. And the lyre is not a lie. It is some sort of a stringed instrument. But they're representative of an entire orchestra, not just these two instruments, that would have been used as a praise team. So they're worshiping God with everything they have. You know, I have a roommate in college. We've been roommates for 2 years this fall, and his name is Travis. And he's been dating this girl named Damaris for a year and 5 months as of June 28th. And Travis thinks Damaris is just the coolest person in the whole world, and he loves talking about her, and he gets so stoked whenever he gets to go see her. But Travis is an English major. He's very poetic and a very talented writer, and he's always writing Damaris these poetic letters, and he always makes sure that I hear them a few times before he gives them to her so I can give him my input. But Travis is a Christian. He doesn't worship Damaris, but yet he puts a lot of enthusiasm, so much enthusiasm, into his relationship with Damaris. And I think that same type of enthusiasm is what the psalmist is talking about that we should have in our relationship with the Lord. We should be excited about the thought of one day getting to see God. We should not stop talking about him and to him. And we should also be reading his letters that he's written to us, which is the Bible. For we are called to worship God. I think that's what the psalmist is getting at here in the first three verses. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth tremble before the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation." You know, the Bible is truth. and it is the Word of God. And God is faithful, and He never acts out of character. God's counsel stands forever, and His plans never change. God has been carrying forward His original plan A, never changing to plans B or plan C. And before God created anything, He knew that Adam and Eve would rebel, yet He chose to create them anyway with a plan of redemption in mind. How awesome is that? God deserves to be praised for so many reasons, but I think especially for these three, for creation, its preservation, and for salvation. For we only receive everything every day only by the grace of God. And we should praise God with thanksgiving in our hearts. You know, the world, you know, is full of people who want to be recognized or acknowledged for what they do. You know, you don't have to look on Facebook very long to read people's Facebook statuses to see that, you know, people like to be acknowledged for what they do. But we are created in the image of God. And I think the desire to be recognized is something we share in common with God. It is human nature to want to be praised for something that we do. And I think God is no different. God desires to be praised for all that He has done. And no one is more deserving of our praise than the Creator of everything. You know, and even if we can't write poetry like my roommate Travis or praise and worship songs like Chris Tomlin, I think our enthusiasm and praise for Christ should be renewed every day. We should praise God with thanksgiving in our hearts for the mercies that Christ has done on us and for the new mercies we receive every day, because God deserves our worship. Psalmist goes on in verse 12. Follow along with me there. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from His dwelling place. He alone crafts their hearts. He considers all their works. You know, a king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be delivered by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. Now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, those who depend on His faithful love to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our hearts rejoice in Him because we trust in His holy name. May with faithful love rest on us, O Lord, for we put our hope in You. You know, I think Israel should be happy that God is not their enemy, at least not at this point in time. I don't think God's against Israel, but He did punish them for their, you know, decision to rebel from Him. But I think wherever you're at, you know, God is watching you. And, you know, if you truly believed that, wouldn't that change the way we lived? You know, God watches those who fear Him and depend on Him to deliver them from death. You know, it says a king is not saved by his army or the strength of his horses. Israel put their hope in the Lord and asked that His love would rest on them. Israel put their hope in God to deliver them from death and famine. And God intervenes in the lives of His people at the right moment. God will work on behalf of His people to deliver them from death, from threatening nations, and from famine. But it will happen in God's timing and not man's. You know, and we can trust that God's timing is the best, because before time was even a thing, God knew what is best. So why should we worship God, and why should we put our hope in Him when there are plenty of other places to place our hope? Well, at the beginning of the psalmist called us to worship God. It was a call to put our hope in a God who deserves our praise. Israel waited for the Lord because He was their help and shield, and they trusted Him. And finally, Israel asked that God's unfailing love would rest on them, sustaining and supporting them through every crisis. So we just read here that Israel put their hope in the Lord. Where do you put your hope? According to the internet, which is always correct, 15% of Americans receive food stamps from the government and put their hope in the government to supply their food. I think many Americans put their hope in politicians and think that they can fix our government's issues. And some people put their hope in money and think that as long as they're financially secure, that their marriage is safe. Well, as we read here in the Psalms, a king's army may protect him for a day. In today's culture, food stamps may sustain you your entire life, and politicians will continue to sort through the issues. Money may help keep your marriage going by helping you to overlook the underlying issues, but in the end, all these things fade, and what matters is that we've put our hope in Christ. So why should we worship God, and why should we put our hope in the Lord? Because God blesses those who put their hope in his strength. Now, I'm not saying that being a Christian is a walk in the park. Far from it. I think the psalmist is saying to put your hope in something that lasts, someone eternal. And if you feel like God has only blessed you enough to save you and forgive you of your sins, and everything else in your life seems to be falling apart, well, stay faithful and keep your hope in the Lord. Because if he hasn't blessed you enough in this life, he will bless you in the life to come. So I'll leave you with these last thoughts. Who or what do you put your hope in? And if he said Christ, does your life reflect that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this glorious day and for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and preach your word, God. I can only do it through your strength. And I pray that this congregation just receive the correct message that you would have them to receive, Lord. And I pray that their lives would be changed through this, Lord, and that they would place their hope in you and not in things of this world, like it's so easy to do. I pray that you would continue to lead and guide and protect us as we go throughout our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.